Vine. Thank you, Brother Vine. Love that song. I was just looking again at some of the words there and reminded that Fanny Crosby, even though she didn't see anything in this world, she saw a lot in the next world. If you think about her writings, she really did. She didn't have an earthly vision. She had a heavenly vision. That'd be good for all of us to have, amen? And, you know, some of the greatest Christians I've ever met have been blind. And it's because they don't see all the things of this world. And so I love that song. Thank you, Brother Vine. Appreciate that. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. I know you've heard the story of Job 100 times. And tonight I would love if you would join me and let's just look at it again. And let's be reminded of some things that we find here. But I'll give you the title of the message tonight. And I want to look at this story tonight from a different view. I was thinking about this that, you know, we look at it through the eyes of Job. We've looked at it through the eyes of God, how He used him. But have you ever thought about how Satan saw this whole situation? And so tonight, I'll preach on this subject, what Satan saw. And we'll look at this story in the viewpoint of how maybe the devil looked at this story and how he looked at Job's life and what he saw. You know, a lot of times, I think we can gain more in our Christian life if we look at our life through the eyes of others. And sometimes we don't see things in our own life because I know me, I know where my hiccups are in life and where my sin lies, and I tend to look over that, right? But if somebody else looks in your life, they'll point out everything. And by the way, Satan looks at our lives. Satan studies our lives. And we know he's not omnipotent, omnipresent, all these things, but we do know that he can, through his helpers, that he can look into our lives to see where our weak points are. But as we come to Job chapter 1, the Bible says, verse 1, says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil." What an amazing start to this whole story of Job's life. And I think I said it to our Sunday school class last Sunday or Sunday before last that, you know, if you would say, "Hey, this is who I want to be," I bet Job wouldn't be on top of your list. I bet if I said, you know, if I went into children's church and I said, "Look, kids, how many of y'all want to live like Job lived?" I'm not thinking I'm going to have a lot of volunteers. Or if I said, "Hey, how many of y'all would to love to have Jonah's life?" Now, some of the kids may like that and want to see what the inside of a whale looks like. But it would be the one time that he wouldn't spit it back up, amen, and I'd be stuck in there. But Job's life is not one that everybody says, "Hey, I want to sign up for that." And so when I look at Job's life and I see that when God looked upon him, he saw that he was a perfect man, means he was complete. But he also said that he feared God and he eschewed evil. In other words, he shunned evil. He put off evil and the deeds of evilness. And can I say, I don't know if God looked at my life very long that he could say that about me. And so when we think about Job's life, we know how God saw him. We know that God saw him as a worthy opponent for the devil. That says a lot. "Hey, have you considered my servant Job?" My servant Job. And when God looked at Job, he saw that he was one who feared God and chewed evil and a servant. And whenever he looks at my life, I don't know what sometimes I don't know what God sees in me, why he wants to keep me around. I'm glad he sees his son, amen. But I want you to notice what else. That Job's day began to go downhill in a humanistic stance, if you would say that. Notice, if you will, in verse 5, it says, "And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sacrificed them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of all of them all. For Job said, 'It may be with be that my sons,'" which he had 7 of them, "'have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.'" He said, now look at this next part. "Thus did Job continue." In other words, Job didn't wake up this day and said, "You know what? This day I'm going to be a Christian. This day I'm going to serve God." No, Job had been sacrificing continually. This was not a new thing to Job. And by the way, serving God and sacrificing ourselves to God should not be a new thing. It should be a continual thing. It should be something that we do every day of our life. But I want you to notice some things about Job's life. And I'm not going to read this whole story because I know you've heard it. But I want you to notice in verse 6 it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. You say, what was Satan doing? He was looking for an opponent. He was looking for a challenge. Matter of fact, I believe the devil's walking up and down the streets of America, and he's not found anybody that even gives him a little bit of an opponent. It's not somebody that gives him a little competition. Why? Because many have fallen in this day. But I'm glad there was one that God could recommend. Look on down, if you will. He said in verse 8, He said, And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright one that feareth God and entreateth evil? Then Satan answered, The Lord said, Doeth Job fear God for naught? In other words, the devil's saying, Hey, is this just for show, you think? Well, guess what? We're going to see. It says in verse 9. In verse 10, it says, Hast thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and the substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all he hath is in thine power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now, the rest of the story, we're going to hit some things in between here. But I want you to notice that Job's day started off pretty good, like any other day. He continually made sacrifice. He went out there and worshiped the Lord. But now his day's going to change. We know that he lost his family. He lost his finances. He lost his fitness. He lost his friends. He lost everything. But one thing he did not lose was his faith. By the way, all material things in our life we know can disappear like that. But if you look at your life and you say, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, then that's something that the world can't take away. That's something that the devil can't take away. Even though you lose it all, you still have Christ. I was reading this quote, and I'll share it with you. It says, Troubles affect folks differently. Troubles are like weather, or like hot weather. I like this. It sours milk, but sweetens apples. You know, sometimes the heat can be turned up in our kitchen. It can either bake your pie and make it sweeter, or it can spoil you and spoil the milk. Which one will you be? Will it be bitter, or will it be better in your life after the storm comes? And we'll look at Satan's view of Job's life after we pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. And God, I thank you for the opportunity I have tonight. Lord, just yield myself to you, to the Holy Spirit. Father, just ask you to speak through me now. God, I pray that you'd, Lord, just preach to your people. Lord, I pray that it be an encouragement. But God, also a challenge, Lord, will be laid before us from your word. Now, Father, help us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I give you four things tonight that Satan saw. Number one, Satan saw Job's devotion to God. He saw Job's devotion to God. Look, if you will, in verse 20. In verse 20. What? Chapter 1, verse 20. We'll see Job's devotion to God. When Satan looked at his life, he saw Job's devotion to God. Look at verse 20. It says, Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. Now, notice this. And worshipped. Now, I'm just going to be real with you tonight, be transparent with you tonight. If this would have happened to me, I would have done what he just said. I would have arose, went rent my mantle. I would have shaved my head like I did today. I would have fell down upon the ground and cried out to God, why? That would be me. I would be the 2-year-old that's in Walmart. You know what I'm saying? But notice what Job did. My friends, can I say that true worship is even whenever you're going through the toughest time of your life and you still have a devotion to God, you're still committed to Christ, you're still committed to the cause of Christ, and when Satan looked at Job's life, he saw that even when he took away all of his family, all of his fame, and all of his finances, that Job did something remarkable that nobody else had done. He fell down on his face and he began to worship God. Wow, what devotion he had. You know, it's easy to have devotion with God. It's easy to have that communion with God when everything's going right. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, you gave me a brand new car. Hallelujah. Lord, my electric bill was low this week. Hallelujah. Well, we're on top of cloud 9. But when the car quits and the electric bill, everybody knows this is the time of the year where it goes, right? And when everything else falls down around us, can we still worship? That's when true devotion takes in. That tells our true character. Our true character is revealed through a squeeze of Satan or through situations in life or through storms that we go through. But when the devil looked at Job, he saw that he was devoted to God. I'll give you another story I read here. It's a very, very, very good story. It says, when troubles come, be like a vine clinging to a tree. I thought about that whenever I read this, and I kept reading. If the wind blows one way, it will be sheltered from the force of its wind. But if it blows at the vine straight on, all it does is press it closer to the tree. That's the way we ought to be with the Lord, right? He's the vine, we're the branches, right? And if the wind blows from one way, we're protected. Sometimes in storms, we're protected, right? But sometimes God allows those storms to blow head on. And what does it do? It should make us cling closer and give us a greater devotion to our God. And should blow us closer to the Lord. And if we don't blow closer to the Lord, sometimes, what do? We grow away. Storms either grow you closer or further away. Number two, what did Job see? He saw Job's dependence upon God. Notice verse 21. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow! Remember, Job's house is leveled. His 10 kids are gone. His all of his livestock is gone. That's how he made his money. That's how he was a person of riches. But now it's all gone, and Job looks out there and he says, now look, I'm going to just depend upon God, because God giveth and God taketh away. Folks, that'd be hard to say. That would be hard to say when you're standing there and your house is leveled and your kids are gone and all you got is one nagging wife telling you to curse God and die. Amen? Or if Job ever thought, take the wife, give me the kids. He didn't. I probably would add, amen. Hey, give me the kids back. Wife's bringing me down, and take the three friends I have too. Amen. But Job said, you know what? The Lord gave those to me, and God took them away. And I'm fine with that, because why? He's God. You know, the hardest thing for me to do, just again being transparent, is just to lay my whole life in God's hands and say, Lord, here it is. It's okay, I undo a foot. I make it do a hand. But for me to lean my whole body, my whole life in God's hands sometimes is very hard. I find myself saying, you know what, God, I'm totally yielded to you. Lord, I'm totally depending upon you. And then I find myself doing this. I wonder what I can do. I got to hurry up and go through this. How can I get out of this? That's not depending on God. Not one time in the Word of God do you see Job going, God, let this quit. I can't handle it. Not one time do you see that. Why? Because he was totally depending on God. Your situation may call on you this week, or it may call on you next week. You're going to go through a storm, or you're going to go through a situation in your life, and how are you going to come out of it? It's going to depend upon how much you are depending on God. Look, if you ain't got no money, if you ain't got no kids, if you ain't got no house, what do you got? You got God. And you depend upon Him. You trust Him. By the way, there has never been no time in my life when I trusted God and He let me down. Not one time. Not one time did it go the way I always wanted it to go? No. Has every time went the way you wanted it to go? No, but it goes the way God wanted it to go. And we must depend upon Him. Notice verse 22. It says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Why didn't he say, well, he didn't charge God foolishly. He didn't sin through all this. Why? Because he was dependent upon God. He was devoted to God. And he wasn't going to quit just because this came into his life. You've met those people before, right? That used to sit in the church pew. Maybe right beside you. Where they at? Well, the devil comes and he puts a little squeeze on their life. Y'all ever seen them little, they're like a ball. And they got the little tentacles on them, you squeeze them, and the eyeballs of some of those, they bug out, and the tentacles, they grow. That's the way we look sometimes when Satan has his hands around us. But you know what I found out about those little things? You cannot burst them. You squeeze as much as you want to, and you let go, guess what? It goes right back the way it was. May our life be like that. Oh man, one day our eyes may be bugging out. Our hair may be pointing north and northeast and northwest. But guess what? In God's timing, the devil has to let go. Can't keep his hand on us all the time. Why? Because God won't allow it. Now, it seems like sometimes he does. But listen to me. You can take an egg, though, and turn it sideways, put it in your hand, and squeeze it a little bit, and guess what's going to happen? It's going to break in your hand. And guess what? That's the way lost people are. Lost people don't have the protection of God, the hedge of God. But we do. And we all always pray, God, keep your hedge upon me and upon my kids, upon my grandkids, upon my family. Why? Because Satan, he desires to sift you and me as wheat. I want you to notice the next thing. Well, let me give you a quote from Mark Twain. Mark Twain said this. He said, I am an old man and have known many troubles, but most of them never happened. Let me read that again. I am an old man and have known many troubles, but most of them never happened. Is anybody like me? You prepare for the worst? I was taught that whenever I went into through fire school and EMS school, they always tell you, when you go to a scene, you expect the worst. That way, when you get there and it's not bad, you're okay. But if you get there and you say, well, it's not bad, it's always going to be worse. And so sometimes that carries over in my life, in my Christian life. And sometimes I think, oh, this is going to be a bad one. I feel like, you know, oh, Elizabeth, this is the big one. Fred Sanford, okay, some of y'all. Oh, this is the big one, Elizabeth. I'm coming. You feel like that. And guess what? Sometimes when we think that way, nothing ever happens. All right, well, I bit all my fingernails off for nothing. Amen. I was in a bad mood for nothing. We must always depend upon God. I want you to notice also, if you'll go back to chapter 1 and verse 5. I want to read that last phrase again. It said, thus did Job continually. He said, what did he do? What did Job do continually? He sacrificed continually. You know what's amazing to me? Is that if you look over in chapter 2 and look at verse 8. Now, remember that Job at his house had a place of sacrifice where they burnt sacrifice. They take the sacrifice, they would burn it. And in this place, Job would offer up one sacrifice per family member, which meaning there would be 12 of them, husband and wife, and then there's 10 kids. And in this place that they put aside, that they sanctified for this cause of Christ, they would go and he offered continually sacrifice there. But I want you to notice in verse 8 of chapter 2, it says, and he took pottery, and to scrape himself withal. Now notice where he's sitting. He sat down among, where? The ashes. You see what's happening to Job is that Job is sitting in a place of sacrifice. Job had taken the animals and had sacrificed them just that very morning. Had just sacrificed that. The burnt offerings had been burnt. The ashes were there. And now that all this is happening to Job's life, Job goes to the one place he knows where God works. And he goes and he sits in the ashes of the sacrifice. And he takes the pot, the broken pot, and he begins to scrape the boils that Satan had placed upon his body, that God allowed to come upon his body. And so now Job is now sitting in the place of what? Of a sacrifice. You know, that's a great picture of Job saying, Lord, I'm a living sacrifice. He's taking that broken pot. I think it's always amazing. I heard a message on this one time. Job used something broken on something that was being broken. Wow. He used that broken piece of pottery to scrape the boils off his arm. You say, what does that mean? Well, that means that when the devil looked at him, what did he see? He saw that Job was being diligent. He was being diligent before God. You know, diligence is a very important word in our society today. In our Christian life, it should be important that we continue to be who we are and continue to serve God even when bad things happen in our life. We should be diligent about being out there and about the Father's business and doing what we know to do. And Job said he sacrificed continually, and now we see him sitting in the place of a sacrifice, continuing offering a sacrifice. Why? Because he still was worshiping the Lord. You let me have a flat tire. I don't know about you. I don't worship God out there in the middle of the highway. Amen. Usually I'm talking pretty bad about my tire at that point. And the guy sold them to me. Not just I mean, I think I've told y'all this story before, but I got to tell it again. Is that whenever we were at the other church, I was driving my little car. I had a little Cavalier at that time. Loved that car. Wish I still had it. And I was driving along the road, and it broke down. I was on my way to work. And this family pulled over, and this man got out. He said, "Sir, can I help you? You need a ride anywhere?" It was him and his wife. I said, "Yes, sir, I sure would need some help." And as a matter of fact, I think Brother Tim was working at a tire shop at that time, back over on the other side of 820 somewhere. I can't remember. It was somewhere over there. And I was going to try to get there to see if he knew somebody. This has been 20 years ago, it seems like. But so I got out of my car. I was a little irritated. Amen. Not mad, but I was irritated. I got in the man's car, and his wife's in there, and I sit in the back seat, and he goes to crank his car, and whoa, 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 whoa. What do you do now? You go, "Lord Jesus, help me not to show these people my real side." Because I just got through telling them I was a preacher. Well, out of nowhere, this guy and his wife, he looked at her, and I my hand up, this is a true story. He said, "Honey, we know what to do." I was like, "Oh, Lord, they're going to kill me and eat me." I mean, I started going through all the things. I thought, man, they're going to barbecue me. I don't know what's going to happen to these people. You know, I thought, man, this was a planned in thing. But all of a sudden, they laid their hand on the dash, and they said, "Lord Jesus, you know, we got to get this young man to a shop. And Lord, would you just help our vehicle to start one more time?" I said, "Well, that ought to really work." Then the spiritual side came out of me, and I said, "Can you go back and do that to my car?" He said it was possessed with a demon because of the front tag on it. But man, I'm telling you what, my day, it started off bad because I was already in traffic. If you've ever been in 820, you know traffic, right? My car breaks down, and then the other guy that's trying to help me, car breaks down. But I was reminded very quickly, and by the way, both of them were Sunday school teachers in a church here in Fort Worth, and I found that out later. And I thought about my life. I said, you know what? I should have just been diligent in my life and been consistent in my life. And I should have prayed way back then before they ever came and picked me up. Instead of saying, "Lord, please let this car blow up after I leave it." You know, I'm that mad. I mean, but we should be diligent in the Lord's work. We should be continually doing what we always know to do. We know to read our Bible. We know to pray. We know to be witnesses and all these things. We need to be diligent about the Father's business and doing what we know to do. When Satan looks at our life and he sees Michael Wiggins in traffic on 35, he knows that he's aggravated. Amen. I should be diligent in who I am. Satan begins to squeeze my life. I like this next one, if you'll look with me. Chapter 2 again. I want you to look at verse 9. Notice verse 9. It says, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die." Now, I don't know how she said that, but I don't think she could have said it too politely. I'm just being honest. I don't think she said, "Now, honey, are you still going to regain your integrity? Well, why don't you just curse God?" I don't think she said it like that. I believe she took this a lot harder than Job did. By the way, mamas take the death of their children worse than a father does most of the time. And I think maybe she was still thinking about the death of her children and that home that she had decorated. She was thinking about all that. It's gone. But Job had a relationship with a God. And when Satan looked at his life, he saw that he was diligent in being who he was. And notice verse 10, it says, "But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." What an amazing man. His whole world just fell down around him. His wife is now against him. And Job said, "Honey, with God, He gives us good, but also God allows things to come into our life for a reason." Can I say, when I believe this with all my heart, when the devil looked at Satan's life, he said, "Man, it's going to be a tough one. This is going to be a tough one." When Satan looks at your life, or when Satan looks at my life, does he say, "Oh, this is going to be a breeze. This is going to be easier." Does he say, "Whoa, there's a hedge about this person. This is going to be hard." Look, if you will, verse 5 of the same chapter. Chapter 2. Notice what Satan says. "But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." Verse 6 says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." And then Satan went forth, in verse 7, from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Can you imagine that? And yet, all through that, Job was diligent. He was dependent upon God. My friends, I don't know about you, but my devotion to God, my dependence on God, and my diligence with God sometimes is wavered by what situation I'm going through in life, where I should be consistent in who I am. By the way, in good times, God is God. In bad times, God is still God. He doesn't change. What changes is how we see life. It's how we see life and how we see God working. And Satan begins to squeeze Job's life. And whenever he began to put the squeeze on Job's life and he wanted to destroy Job's life, Job stayed faithful to God. Job kept his faith. Job kept his integrity. He never once sinned against God in this time. And he stayed diligent to the cause of his God. Job never badmouthed God. I wish I could say that. I wish I could say that every time God worked in my life and put a squeeze on my life, I wish I could say I've been the same. And I glorified God in all of it. The devil will come. He will squeeze. He will try to get us to badmouth, to bellyache, to cry, to complain, to turn away from God, because he knows he can't take our salvation, but yet he can make us miserable and ineffective Christians. You know, if you take a Christian and you discourage them and you defile them through things of this world, and they're backslidden from God, guess what happens? They become ineffective. They're no longer witnessing. They're no longer a good testimony. Why? Because Satan he can't take your salvation away, but he sure can take your joy. He can take all these things away from our lives sometimes. And he can let us see the bad things in life, and he can let us see the negative things in life. He can cause us to grumble and complain. And when we do that, we lose our effectiveness as a Christian. But can I say, if you was looking as Satan was looking at Job's life, not one time did Satan look at his life and say, "Oh, he messed up. I got him. I'm a victor." But I believe when the devil looked at Job's life, he saw he really is who God said he was. Can I ask you this tonight? If God was to come tonight and say, "All right, devil, let's pick an opponent. Let's pick a challenger for you," would you be on top of his list? I'm asking myself that right now. Would I be on top of his list, or would God say, "You know what, we better not use this one"? Ooh. What if you're going through something right now in your life? Are you passing the test? I hated tests in school. I shouldn't tell you all this, but I did. All those cat tests, dog tests, stray cat tests, kitty cat tests, all those four, you know, initial tests that you had to take in school. I hated tests. You know what I did to them? I slept during them. You know why? Because I valued my sleep more than I did tests. And right before they'd take it up, I'd go through there and go, C-B-A-D. I'd make the little Christmas tree looking thing, you know? And you know what? I got those test results back. It's amazing. Sometimes I did pretty good. I don't think they graded them half the time. But you know what? I hated when those tests came back and, man, you see that flag waving up top. Teacher says, make up tests tomorrow because you failed this one. And you know what they always did on the next test? It was never like the first test, right? Because they knew you'd try to memorize it. You know what? It's kind of that way in our Christian life. You ever feel like no test is the same in our life? It's like, man, I just... And sometimes they repeat themselves. But even though when God puts us through a test, how's He grading us? How's your grade tonight? Are you passing? Maybe you got a C+. Or maybe you're failing. There's a lot of people that's not in church because they failed tests. I'm not talking about physical tests. I'm talking about spiritual tests they fail. What's it going to take in our life? I hope when Satan looks at your life and when he looks at mine, he says, "I'm going to have to watch this one for a little while. It's going to be a tough one." Oh, I hope I'm a challenge to Satan, don't you? I hope when Satan comes to me, the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Hey, not in your own power, but in the power of God and the power of His Word. And I pray that when Satan comes to me, he says, "Wow, this is going to take a little bit." When he went to Job, I'm telling you what, finally we understand that Satan left him for a season. Why? Because he couldn't penetrate the wall of a man's faith in his God. By the way, faith is stronger than the devil is. And grace is stronger than the devil is. Tonight, I pray that you'll take a moment and look in your life and just evaluate your own life and say, where am I at? When Satan looks at my life, what does he see? Does he see a challenge or does he see, that was already done. You know, you don't drive down the road looking for animals to kill and pull up on one that's already been run over and shoot it. Right? That would be kind of crazy. Unless you're just bored and you're in the country. Kind of like we were. But you don't pull up on something that's already dead and shoot it again. That's kind of the way Satan is. If you're already kind of like a turtle on your back, he's got you. But I hope tonight that we'd rise up out of the ashes, amen, and say, Lord, I'm going to worship You. Lord, I'm going to put my faith in You. Lord, I'm going to be diligent. Lord, I'm going to be dependent upon You 100%. God, no matter what I go through, I'm going to be dependent upon You. And just stand fast. Stand firm. Where? In the faith. Stand firm in the world? No. Stand firm in the faith. You know, that's what Job did. We know that at the end, God gave him 20 kids instead of 10. He gave him twofold of all that he had. Why? Because God loves us. And because God allowed him to go through that trial, God rewarded him. Matter of fact, let me say this. We may not be rewarded here. By the way, it'd be all right with me if I wasn't. Because I know the rewards up there are a lot greater. I'd rather just wait on my mansion up there than to have one down here. Amen? I don't have to pay the light bill. Amen. I'd rather wait till I get up there. I'll live in a double wide trailer if I have to. Because I know one day I am going to have a mansion. And I hope everybody that has a Bible and sung the song, Lord, build me a cabin in the corner, glory land, and there's rooms in heaven. I hope God gives them a room while I'm in my mansion. I'm glad God's not like me. Amen. How about you tonight? Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed.